Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got that might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a start with Jeremy and Love the Master, and Kiss the Cream the Pritchard. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Effie, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to the podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Hey, does everybody love this podcast too? Is it you, Chris?
Maybe.
So those who listen live, now even our guests when they come on later, say, hey, what is that awesome song in the beginning? That is our MWCConnection.com, the opening intro, one of two, sung by our very own Chris. How are you doing tonight? This is your first time on our new system. You doing, or second time, actually, I apologize.
No,
you're on the way to Brandon Huffman. Jeez, I'm ridiculous.
How soon you forget that?
I don't know. I'm forgetful tonight. I got stuff going on, but hey, more recruiting. Talking San Diego State recruiting moment. Shortly tonight, we will have on Ruben Meza from the San Diego State website or AztecSportsReport.com of Rivals Network. And basically, we're talking about how awesome San Diego State's recruiting class is. And it is pretty awesome.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's by far probably the best class in the Mountain West. And, I mean, we were talking to Brandon Huffman about it. And, you know, obviously our friends from San Diego Sports Domination, David over there, thinks that, you know, the class is pretty much awesome. So, yeah, you can't argue with the class of San Diego State for 2014.
Not when they have, was it, 10 three-star players, I think it is. I'm trying to pull up. Oh, excuse me.
13 three-star players.
13 and no four-stars, but depending on what you view on Boise State's latest edition, they have one or one and a half or two four-star players. Because there is some news tonight that we got earlier today. They landed a reverse effect, getting a player from who was committed to Washington, now to Boise State. Four-star tight end Chase Lackley is coming to Boise State. And is the tight end position back then for Boise State? Because they haven't had a tight end in a couple years.
Well, they've had Gabe Linehan and Holden Huff. But
oh,
really, they
haven't
had
a good tight ends, I should say.
Right, right. They haven't had like a super, I mean, the last, you know, super tight end that I can remember is, you know, you had Tyler Shoemaker, but really the last really, really good tight end that Boise State had, in my opinion, Derek Schumann, who played on that 2006 Boise State team.
What about Kyle Efa?
Efa was decent. I liked Efa.
I was taking a quick look at the stats about the news, but he, just quick thing, in his 4 years there, he averaged 16 yards reception, 13 touchdowns, and 100 receptions as a tight end, about 30 or so for the last year. So that was the kind of, at least to make him a target, because Linehan is good, but he got, what, 10 receptions, 15 receptions? Efa had about 30.
Yeah, don't forget when Efa was tight end, though, that, I mean, Kellen Moore was basically thrown to everybody and completing to everybody. So, you know, everybody had ridiculous stats to some extent.
True, but still, come on. You still got to get that going on here to see what they're doing tight end. That could – so I was looking to see, because I was trying to see, was Brian Harsin there when Efa was there, but no. But I'm assuming all we can say is it's another weapon, and that's what they need. They need weapons on offense to go up. go with Sean Wynn Rhodes, Jay Ajayi, and whoever the quarterback's going to be after Grant Hendrick.
Yeah.
But this is not a Boise State show. This will be San Diego State, hopefully, soon. So you have the floor. You tell me what you want to talk about, because I already know kind of what you want to discuss besides recruiting.
Well, right now, if you look, if you're not watching ESPN3 or ESPN The U, right now you should be. It's a close game in Logan. New Mexico's only leading by 3 points, 26-23 basketball.
I tried basketball. I kind of forget about basketball sometimes. Sorry to say, but I do.
Yeah, you kind of forget, you know, only the sport that we're seemingly really good at.
Yeah.
You know, we only have a team. We only have one team ranked in, you know, the top 10, actually the top 5 in the nation.
Unless you are, there's a voter. We can get that. I forget who it was. He's over at CBSSports.com. I forget the guy who does it. I'll pull up in a second, but he kind of does the attack the poll thing about saying who's voting oddly. And
yeah.
I'm trying to see it right here. Oh, I got. Basically, one guy put San Diego State behind Kansas and Creighton as well.
Wow.
And
so
as we both know, the Aztecs have beaten both those teams, right?
Exactly.
Except
so,
some person. Not
I
even
don't
behind
know what you're talking about, dude, but.
He put him at number 11.
Give me a break.
That's what I'm just saying. I got it right here. It's Gary. Oh, yeah, it's Gary Paris. I'm trying to see who it was because I just remember that now. This guy, McGill, who's his character here. Who cares? Whatever. Somebody ranked him 11. That doesn't make sense. Behind those two teams they beat. But so, as let's just stick with basketball. Do you think there's any chance Aztecs could be a number one seed?
They really have to beat everybody. They have to go undefeated in the Mountain West.
Okay, if they go undefeated,
I see that.
State, could there be two number one seeds outside of the Big Six?
I firmly believe it because Wichita State has looked completely dominant. And I know some of you know this, but some of you don't. I write over at Mid Major Madness as well, and of course, you know, we're huge in all the mid major basketball conferences, but. With the season that Wichita State is having, and then you know just an extension of last year, and I saw them play live last year.
So did I. I saw them in Salt Lake, and you saw them. I saw beat Gonzaga, and you saw them in L.A.
Yeah,
doing good things.
And they are a great team to watch.
Yeah,
so,
I saw them this
year.
They played BYU. It was a pretty good game. BYU's above average. They're an average team, but they still. I've seen him play a couple of times on last year versus Gonzaga, hitting those three-pointers left and right. But just curious your thoughts on that. I wonder if both, but I'm wondering, could there be any effect because of how Gonzaga lost last year? Because they were the number one overall seed and lost to Wichita State in that second, or round of 32. Could you think that? I know it shouldn't be in the back of the mind of the committee, but would that be just because of how they lost that second game?
There's reason to believe that, you know, the Cedars might pull that. But, I mean, you can't take away, I mean, this is a team, Wichita State is a team, they haven't had the greatest RPI, but they haven't, you know, won in, you know, very close games. The closest game that they've won this year has been against St. Louis, who also is, I believe, ranked in the top 25. But they've completely dominated everybody in their conference. They've, you shut out Davidson, shut out Tennessee, Oral Roberts, which, you know, has up and downs here. BYU, DePaul just completely dominated them. You know, Wichita State is a completely legitimate team. But I really want to get back to Mountain West basketball. So.
And I'm just saying. I'm thinking if there's two undefeated.
But.
It's getting about everybody, man. It's not. I just wonder if they go undefeated and then Aztecs have one loss.
Yeah. Oh, so you mean you're telling me to choose between them?
I mean, no. Would you, like I said before, you think it could be both? If they,
I totally think it could be both, but one of the teams ahead of them have to lose.
A couple times, probably. Okay. So, any other Mountain West hoops you want to discuss? We saw. I was so ticked I couldn't go to the Spectrum last weekend with that overtime Aztecs-Aggies game. That would have been – because the Spectrum is – people were saying, oh, whatever, the home court. There's some pretty nasty home court in the Mountain West. I think we did discuss this. The Pitt playing against the show, playing in Thomas and Mack, maybe not this year. Every team has a good home court advantage. That would have been awesome to see. But this tournament is going to be crazy in about a month.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to decide who's more overrated right now.
I'll still go with Nevada. I don't care. It's Nevada.
Is it Nevada or is it Wyoming? Because,
Nevada has an NBA player.
I think it's Nevada.
NBA player. He's an NBA player, perhaps.
Yeah, I totally think it's Nevada. But, of course, the, rest of the Wolfpack fans don't want to hear it. But really, you're sitting at 500, and half those wins come from in-conference. But on the other hand, look at the losses. Look at the 10 losses that Nevada's had. They've lost to Pacific, who started out good, but really hasn't looked that impressive.
Cal State Bakersfield. They got rushed out of the gym.
Wait, I'll even pop you.
Morehead
Long
State?
Long Beach State. Morehead State, they looked bad. You lost to Long Beach State, who this year, on any other year, I'd say, okay, losing to LBSU, that's okay. But this year, Long Beach State is horrible. Absolutely horrible. This is the same team that is sitting, in the lower half. I'm sorry. Yeah, in the lower half of the Big West Conference. I'm sorry, right in the middle. They're sitting at fifth. And they're 7-12 on the season.
I think it's Nevada just because they're 10-10. They've been hot. I don't know. But here's the thing. Nevada beat Wyoming. So it's like, well.
But then they lost to Boise State, who's behind them, who also has three conference losses.
Actually, I apologize. They already split. I didn't realize they already played twice this year. Jeez, Nevada, Wyoming, they played twice.
Yeah, so they split.
Well, I'm going to say that, but as for the let's just wait until our guest gets here shortly, but keep talking hoops. Are your assumption as most people it's just two teams, that's it? NCAA tournament?
I still think there's three teams, but that third team has yet to show itself.
Can Boise State somehow be that third team? Because they probably have almost the most talent in the league, but they're vastly underachieving. They brought pretty much everybody back last year.
Yeah, they brought everybody back, and what's surprising is, yes, they are 4-3 in conference, but they've lost to three teams who are above them right now. And they lost to San Diego State, at San Diego State. They lost at New Mexico, and then they lost to Wyoming, who, once again, has not looked like a really, bad team, but they shouldn't have lost
at home. A home loss. Come on. I could take
it was at home, and that's the thing that really concerns me. But one of the other things that concerns me about Boise State basketball is the fact that there are times within the game where they'll just go 10 minutes without making a single basket.
All right, we're going to put this hoops talk on hold because we have our person of interest this evening online here. As I said, we have Ruben Meza from AztecSportsReport.com. So, Ruben, what's going on tonight, man?
Not much. How are you, Jeremy? I was trying to figure out a good time to call in because I didn't want to kind of disrupt you guys ahead of time. I like how your show's doing. It's a good setup.
Thanks. Yeah, we're just talking. Chris wants to talk hoops, and I'm kind of like, we'll get to it eventually. But since your time frame is scheduled tonight, we just took the first 15 minutes or so on hoops, and hey, it's recruiting to football time.
Cool. All right. Yeah, it's coming up quick, isn't it? Signing day is right around the corner.
So let's just start with this. Chris, you'll get your stuff in a minute, but quick question. Well, obviously, interview sort of is going to be questions to you and answers to us, of course, as you can tell we're doing awesome here. But we already talked to Brandon Huffman a little bit about the Aztecs class and how good it is. Is it more of stable coaching staff, location, or they have Tony White, who's a pretty good recruiter. What's the combination to why they're being the best class so far, despite they've been this past year, they did okay. They picked up near the end, but they haven't been like this great class, and they're pretty much dominating the Mountain West.
Right. It's all about, I guess just selling the program. They have to do a good job of that. Obviously, San Diego, it's pretty hard. It's a pretty tough place to turn down when you actually get someone in for a visit. But like you said, like you mentioned, Tony White, he's like the main guy. He's like the recruiting guru. He sets everything up, and he's really good at evaluating guys early on, especially. If you look at the commit list and you look at when they committed, half the class was committed before the season even started just because he was able to identify who we wanted and who were kind of the must-gets.
And they had, like, a weekend, like, a huge weekend. A couple weeks ago, they had, like, three or four guys, like, one weekend just blew up.
Right, yeah, but exactly. That's, like, their strategy, though. It's kind of the way it kind of works. I mean, Rocky, his method is during the season, they kind of push recruiting to the side. I mean, they entirely focus on the season. When you follow recruiting, you see all these kids taking official visits, going to games and whatnot. With San Diego State, they really, really try to stay away from that. They don't like having official visitors during the season because, obviously, that takes away from their time from focusing on, you know, film and working on their players. It just doesn't work out. And especially the players themselves, I mean, the recruits, they come in and they need an official host or whatever. And, you know, to have someone out there during the weekend, during a game weekend, taking kind of the players' time and kind of getting them distracted, it's just really not worth it. So if you look at it, I mean, they had commits probably like 12 up until August, right before the season. No commits at all pretty much during the entire season. And then after the season, you saw that, you know, that kind of flurry of commitments go down, especially with the JUCO guys because it was JUCO signing day. But not just that, it's just that they turned their heads back to recruiting wide when the season ended. It's just the way it kind of works. I know it's kind of weird to see why are all these committing – all these guys committing all at once, but it's kind of their plan, and it worked out perfectly for them. I mean, they put together a really good time.
I'm going to counter. I think I know the reason why they don't want people during in season. How many people show up to the game? They play the cabinet of Qualcomm, and it looks empty. I think that's the reason they don't want people during season.
I should have been more specific. I mean, official visitors. They don't want any official visitors. They have visitors during the game. They have recruits.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, they do kind of know what's going on with the attendance, but I'm sure there's more to recruiting than just, you know, we don't have a great attendance, but there's other things about San Diego State that they can really pitch and stuff.
There's not the Boise State coach who tweeted out the other day for Boise versus Miami trying to get Brad Kay aware. We show up for our games. I thought that was pretty clever, though.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Miami is, you know, when you don't have the fan support, that's... And see, you know, Miami used to have this fan support. San Diego State, I think, is one of those teams that I think they've always had a fan base, but they don't necessarily always show themselves. But let's go to the class. Who is leading the class right now in terms of recruits, in terms of, you know, your top recruit?
Right. Well, mine personally, I've always liked Michael Holder. I think he's the highest rated, actually, so that's kind of a cop-out. But, I mean, I've seen him during the summer, summer camp on SEC's campus, and then I watched him in his first game of the season, and he's always been my favorite recruit. First off, he's a really, really good kid, really smart. I'm pretty sure he has a 4.0, and he wants to major in engineering. I mean, he's the perfect kind of kid they kind of look for. And obviously, he's a local kid, so you have to go after him. And he did. And I think he's listed at 6'1". He's maybe like 6 feet. But he's a long 6 feet. He's kind of like, he has one of those long torso and long legs. And he has that kind of frame that's going to fill out. And you can see him being a potential big time wide receiver. He's a downfield threat. If you watch his junior film, during his junior season, he had a senior quarterback that had a monster arm. That led to big games for Oceanside High School. And Michael Holder was caught, like, probably, I don't know, 20-plus, like, 40-yard catches downfield. During his senior year, it wasn't like that. It was more short pitches and screens and whatnot. And he was able to show his ability in, you know, in closed space and try to make something out of nothing. He has that big playmaking ability. So I saw a little of both. I mean, his junior season, he has that downfield threat. During his senior season, he showed a little bit of everything. And I've always been a big fan of him. He's really good at catching the ball, perfect frame, and he really understands how to play the wide receiver position. I mean, he stares on the ball, he tracks it down well, he knows how to set up his feet before a catch, and he really knows how to, you know, high point the ball. Really, really good wide receiver.
So if he's like your top guy in the class, who is maybe the top, like, position need that the Aztecs are looking for? Like, who's one or two players that they're not the highest rated, but they got a lot of good guys that who were like, okay, we got these guys, we'll shore up this position because we have this group or this player to take over at this position.
Right. Well, yeah, Rocky kind of made it obvious this year of who we wanted. I mean, obviously, if you follow the team this season, obviously the quarterback play wasn't that great. They signed three quarterbacks. So that just goes to show that they're looking for something. And then
that's smart to do? Because that's a lot. That seems too many.
Right,
three quarterbacks?
Yeah, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I said nah, just to disagree with Jeremy. at being.
I'm just saying three. Typically, two is the max, but three seems a bit excessive, in my opinion.
Right. Well, it's kind of hard to explain how it happened because it was just the situations for each of the recruits. I mean, Christian Chapman's a local kid that really likes San Diego State, and he's one of my favorite recruits as well. He's on the shorter side, so he didn't get recruited as much as, you know, other type of quarterbacks, but he's a good prospect. He was the first quarterback to commit, and then they're kind of set on him, and then all of a sudden one kid shows up, his name's Nick Baldy, and he shows up out of nowhere during the summer camp, and he has a cannon of an arm, and they're like, oh, man, we got to offer this guy. We can't let him fall by. They went after him. And then, you know, as the season progressed, you know, obviously Adam Dingwall, I think he got pulled after the third game or the second game against Ohio State. So, and there's really no depth. So the third guy, Brad Odeman, he's a JUCO guy from Ventura. I think he's originally from, like, Minnesota or somewhere back east. And he's just a guy to really shore up the depth. Obviously, there's a chance he's going to be here for spring ball and can compete for a starting spot. But, I mean, just the way everything worked out, it makes sense. Obviously, on paper, it's like three quarterbacks. That's a lot. But in terms of what San Diego State needs, right? Rocky Long wasn't really playing. Like, he saw a need, and he made sure to really get it done.
I get the point. I didn't realize one was the JUCO guy. I was trying to look at the list. So, like, if it's a JUCO, I think it makes it more sense, a little bit easier then. So one other thing about kind of with the class, how can they keep the class together? Not saying that they'll lose all these guys, but when you look at the Mountain West or the Missouri Valley, or not Missouri Valley, I'm thinking of the MAC, I mean, the small, lesser leagues, not the Big Ten, Pac-12 and stuff, but are they going to be able to keep most of these guys together? Because if there's those last-minute trips or last-minute decisions, UCLA lost out on their guys, so I'm going to go there instead of San Diego State. Do you think that could happen, or this guy's pretty solid in what they've been doing this past year?
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing, like I mentioned earlier. It's all about, you know, getting on the guys early. And all the guys they currently have on board, they've known them for quite a while, and they built that relationship where, you know, they kind of have that trust between each other. Obviously, like you mentioned, you know, that last-minute phone call is all it takes. SEC saw last year, they had a DB commit. His name was Charles Okonkwo, and then the night before signing day, Oregon State called him or whatever, and they offered him. So they were down a cornerback, and that kind of hurt that class. This year it could be the same thing. Some guys were considering trips, official visits this past weekend, but San Diego State did a good job of saying, like, hey, this class is filling up. You know, if you go on that visit, there's no promises. You know, you may lose a spot because other kids want to commit to the school as well. But they've done a good job of handling it. I mean, I've spoken to a few kids, one kid in particular. I won't say the school, but he told me that a rival Mountain West school told him, like, hey, we have a immediate playing time spot. I won't say the position, but they basically told the kid, hey, if you come here and play this position, it's wide open. You got it if you want. But the kids are like, no, I've been committed to San Diego State too long. I know the coaches too well. I can't do that to them. And he kind of cut them off. So in terms of just like, oh, will they lose them or not? I don't think it's going to happen. We saw earlier a few months back, I mean, they lost two guys that they wanted and UCLA and USC. Those two guys, you could kind of see it coming. With the guys they have on board, they really do seem on board. So, if you wanted, like, one in particular that I could see flipping, just looking down the list. To be honest, I really can't spot one I think. The thing is, right now, 70 is in the lead for, like, a lot of last-minute guys that they might add to this class. Those kids, they don't want to commit to SEC quite yet, because other schools like Washington, Oregon State, other, like, you know, mid to high Pac-12 schools are saying, hey, don't commit anywhere yet. We might have a spot for you at the last minute or even past signing day, because obviously you can wait till then. So that's kind of screwing up SEC's recruitment of them right now. But as for kids on board, I think this class really sticks together.
So what about your other needs outside of quarterback? What kind of positions are really lacking on the San Diego State team? Outside
of
kicker.
Right. Yeah, that was an obvious need. The thing that the O-line play, obviously a lot of blame was kind of put on Quinn Kaler. Obviously, he was a walk-on, so you can't be too harsh on him because he was kind of limited. He didn't have that big of an arm, and the offensive play calling was really limited in terms of what Bob Toledo wanted to do. And one thing that Bob Toledo actually brought up was he wasn't – I guess dissatisfied. He wasn't really satisfied with the way the O-line played this year. It was a big group, all about 6'4 and taller. If they weren't playing as physical as they look, I mean, they didn't have that mean streak he was looking for. And he wanted them to, you know, gain weight, play more physical, be more aggressive, be, like, you know, nasty offensive linemen. And that was a big need this year. I mean, if you look at the linemen this year, Pierce Slater, the JUCO signing, he's a legit 6'7". Like, he came on a, and they measured him at a legit 6'7", legit 340 pounds. They have three high school kids that are 6'5 and taller. One guy is 6'6", without shoes on, like, he's legit. And then they also have another high school kid that was a basketball player, and he's a legit 6'8". He's more of a project that's going to have to really learn the position over the next few years. But in terms of the O-line, they got the size, they got the technique that they're looking for. Now they just need to really coach them up and hopefully produce in the next few years. So they all have high tech, and now they just want to see how they develop over the next few years. I think the O-line, they attacked the class perfectly and got pretty much exactly who they wanted.
Was there any need for running back in this class? You got Donald Pumphrey staying there, but Adam Lehman has taken off. Was there any need to get more than one running back in this class, or is just are they good with just the one they have right now who's committed?
Right. Well, they actually have two committed. One might be listed, like, as an athlete. I know there's a running back. Yeah. I'm not sure what list you're looking for. They have a running back named P.J. Walker. He's from Paris. I've seen him play. He's on the shorter side, but he's a big physical kid. He's actually kind of Adam Lehman 2.0 or whatever. They're pretty much the same type of player. He's kind of smaller, but they have one from Georgia. His name's Darryl Dunlap. He's, like, a legit 6'1.5", maybe 215 pounds, and he's one of those bigger-type running backs that they're looking for, and he was a need. If you look at the roster, obviously you see D.J. Pumphrey on there, and he's in person, he's, like, 5'9". Maybe like 165. He's probably listed like at 5'10", 180, but he's nowhere near that. I mean, I've known the kid, and he's a small kid. So they're looking for a bigger guy, and they got that. But they also, it wasn't too much of a need because they also signed a bigger running back named Marcus Stamps, who was actually Rocky Long's, like, musket, top repeat that he always wanted. His name's Marcus Stamps, and he's like 6'2", 190, and he's absolutely ripped. I mean, if you see him, he's just like a statue, and he'll be a guy to watch this year, upcoming, besides DJ. He could split carries with him, kind of be that thunder and lightning. DJ, the more of a scat back, big playmaker, and Marcus Stamps, more of the goal line kind of kid.
So we're now to our last weekend of recruiting.
Right.
Who does San Diego State have on the final weekend recruiting?
Right. Well, the thing is, all the guys that they have, like, that they're targeting right now, most of them have already visited. They have a few visitors this weekend. Jay Henderson, an outside linebacker, he's going to visit this weekend. One of the kickers is going to visit. So it's mainly just committed guys. It's not really a big week in terms of official visitors. There might be one or two popping up at the last second later this week. But as of now, they're just pretty much just sitting around waiting. Going to in-home visits, meeting with coaches, meeting with kids, getting their last pitches in. Because they've already filled the program. They've really done all that they need to do in terms of just recruiting and getting the full San Diego State pitch into a kid's head. And so now it's just, you know, wait and see what happens. They have, like, you know, it looks about 3, 4, 5 guys that they want. They maybe have 2 or 3 more spots left. So right now, just in terms of, it's just all about in-home visits. It's not really about visits at this point.
Yeah, I do see they have, it looks like, 27 guys currently, hard commits or whatever, are going to be the solid verbal, whatever you call that, they're on there good. So, because they had a big weekend when I was doing our little list of guys, seeing who's visiting where at the 17th, they had, 11, 12 guys. Most were already committed, a couple still looking other places. Yeah. So if there's any players that, because I'm kind of looking at the visit list over the past couple weeks from there, are there any players that, because can they really add in more players? Because I notice here they have one JUCO signed at least right now, maybe two or something today. It looks like a defensive back who's going to be on campus there. But how are they going to get any more guys? Is it only if they say some guy leaves or goes to a different school, they're going to go after somebody else? Because they are pretty set. Like, what's the scenario that you could see? Who, I guess they're backup plans, I guess. Who are maybe one or two, a couple of guys or they might need to grab if somebody makes the last second change to go to Washington or something or USC?
Huh, that's a good question.
Are there any of those guys you could think of, or somebody say like, well, we want you, but we're not sure? I know I'm putting that in the spot, but just kind of curious if you have any off the top of your head.
Right. No, I got you. Like, I guess the word backups isn't really the right word because they have a group of kids that they really want, but they're not kids that are like, okay, if we lose one kid, we want you, now you're going to commit. It's not going to happen like that. It's more like we got a lot of players, we got one spot left. I know other schools are looking at you, but if you want to come here, you know, we'll greet you with open arms. I mean, we really want you. So it's more about just who pulls the trigger first in terms of just I'm tired of the recruiting process. Washington, I'm sorry, I don't want to wait any longer. I'm going to commit to SCU because you've been kind of, you know, making me wait for this long of a period, and it happened like that. I just see that mainly happening.
That happens a lot. To, like, the bigger programs, you wait for us. Because that's how kids can get stuck at left out of on the cold for any good offer. Like, that happened a lot. We're like, okay, say it's like Washington or USC or Texas. Right. It's like, we have a spot for you maybe, but you got to wait. But then why would San Diego State or Boise State or UNLV or Eastern Michigan wait to hope they get you? They'll fill up with somebody they can get for sure. Does that happen more often than it should?
Yeah, and it's actually really sad. I mean, I talk to these kids, and I try to give them advice, like, you know, don't wait too long because I know how the process works. I mean, a door can shut at any moment. I mean, if one kid at your position commits to the school, I mean, they don't need you anymore. It just the snap of a finger, it's over like that. I know in particular one recruit, he really, really likes San Diego State, but he was waiting for another offer from a Pac-12 school. And it's looking at that offer might not even come, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe he wants to commit to SDC now, but, you know, the spot's filled up. So now most likely he may end up at a school he's not going to be happy at. It's going to be a lower-level school just because he kind of waited too long and he didn't take advantage of the process and take what he had at the time. So, yeah, it does happen, and it's pretty tough to watch, actually.
So who could be a sleeper of this class? So and the reason why I ask is who's going to be, you know, the person who kind of comes in possibly under recruited but just going to come out, you know, swinging.
Right. Huh. Okay. Well, in terms of committee guys, I'd have to say, like I mentioned, there's a basketball player who converted to offensive lineman just during his senior year. His name's Devin Burleson. He's from Palmdale. I think he was actually a highly recruited basketball player at some point early in his season, and he ended up gaining a lot of weight, and he ended up liking football much more than basketball. He fell in love with it. San Diego State got him on way early. I mean, no one knew about this kid, and SEC like kept quiet about him, kept him under the radar, got him in for official visit, and you know when you watch his clips at first, you're just like, huh, like, why are you accepting a commitment from this kid? He looks a little sloppy on his feet. He doesn't look like the strongest kid. He's maybe only like about 250 pounds for an offensive tackle. That's pretty small. So you kind of shake your head and scratch your head about, you know, why do this? I mean, you're looking for stronger offensive linemen. Why do this? But this is a kid that's, you know, okay, come in, redshirt. Learn the game of football, first off. I mean, you only have 1 year under your belt of actually playing high school football. Get used to the system, get coached up by your coaches, and hope you develop. I mean, it's a high-risk, low-reward kind of thing. But I think Devin Burleson, he's like kind of a diamond in the rough. I mean, from what I know, two other Mountain West schools, Boise State and Utah State, they actually try to have an in-home visit with him at the last minute because once he committed to San Diego State, everyone's like, wait, this kid's playing football now, so, you know, they watch the film, they're like, oh, he's actually pretty good. So those two schools went into his in-home visit maybe like a week or maybe even like a week and a half ago. So, like, hey, we didn't know about you. I know San Diego State did. I know we're coming in kind of late, but will you be interested in coming out for a visit? Would you be interested in a scholarship? But he ended up kind of shutting the door on them, saying it's like, no, San Diego State kind of took a chance on me when no one else did. And really show that they wanted him, because by the time his senior season ended for football, I mean, this kid was just thinking about graduating high school and getting a job. He wasn't even thinking about playing D1 at all. Like, he was that underrated. But when you watch his film and really look into it, you can see kind of just glimpses of the potential, and I think over time he could be one of those all Mountain West type of players at offensive tackle.
Awesome. Excellent. That's excellent. So do you have, really quick, I know there's side stuff, or do you have any breaking news you can provide us maybe tonight that something big that could happen or something you're working on that might happen this week? Because I know recruiting's almost done. Anything that might happen you're working on?
Right. Well, yeah, I was expecting the news to break tonight. SEC went out to visit, do an in-home visit with recruit. I'll say he's out of state, and I'll say he's from the South. And the kid told me that he was planning to commit. I guess he kind of got cold feet tonight, so he decided not to commit. But the plan is for him to commit tomorrow now. So the breaking news hasn't happened yet, but I'll give you that heads up. I mean,
okay. So
expect breaking news tomorrow.
Assuming the best way, would your Twitter account be the best way to find that out for everybody?
I guess so. Yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you out too. I'm like, hey, if you got some news, where do we find it? Is your Twitter there? It's Ruben Meza ASR, or just go to sandiegostate.rivals.com.
Yeah,
that's the right place, right? AztecSportsReport.com.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
so there we go. I'm making sure people know, because if you have good news, I don't want to leave them hanging. Like, wait, who? Where do we go? I didn't hear the name. I just listened. I didn't go to the website to see where the podcast is at, to see the links I have. So we want to help you out as well, as much as you're giving us amazing information tonight.
Thanks. Yeah, I would have had it for you.
I
really just texted the kid like 5 minutes before I called the show just to make sure, like, did he pull the trigger? And he said no. So, you know, I would have broke it on the show if it happened. To be honest, I could have done it for you.
That would be great.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries.
But, I can't say that there will be something pretty significantly, not significant, but just kind of out of the blue. Something will go down on signing day that kind of the guys that are on my site that they know about and I know about, it's been really kept under wraps. But it's a name people should be aware of, but they aren't at this point because he's kind of hidden under the spotlight. No one really knows where he is. No one knows what school he's going to. But there is going to be a surprise on signing day. I'll give you that.
So somebody going to come out dressing as the Aztec Warrior and commit? Is that what your surprise is?
No, this is pretty. I mean, there's going to be a signee that that doesn't headline the class, but it's going to be like, oh, where'd that come out of? Like, it's just going to come out of nowhere, and people feel like, whoa, they ended up getting that kid. It's going to raise some eyebrows. I think.
Okay.
San Diego State, they're going to close strong. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Hey, they're already strong class now.
So turn it on. Instead of putting on a hat, he puts on the Aztec headdress.
Of course. That's the way you got to step it up, man. People doing some crazy stuff for the commitment things on signing day who are going to make their big announcement on TV.
No, luckily for me, like the San Diego State recruits that I've talked to, all the commits basically, they're all really chill. They're laid back. They're not into all that kind of publicity and all that. They won't pull anything like that. They're just going to sign the paper and get the day over with.
Excellent. That's a good way to do it, too. You want to get your business done. So, all right. So, I think we're done here. We asked a bunch of stuff, provided us, like I said, Ruben, excellent information. So, everybody, just head out to AztecSportsReport.com. We'll look for that news sometime tomorrow. That's check out his Twitter as well, as we said, Ruben Mazet ASR. So, hey, man, thanks for joining us. I mean, we'll probably definitely have you on down the road, other recruiting stuff, regular football, or hoops. We like hoops. So thanks for joining us, man, and we'll see you around.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
Bye.
Excellent, excellent stuff there. We've had a lot of
– Have you noticed a trend?
What is
that? Have you noticed a trend?
What
the trend is, like the last four or five shows that we've had just awesome interviews where we hardly have to do any talking whatsoever.
It makes it easy. I got my 10-word question. Go. That's it. I would like to say we do have to think of some good stuff. I'm not going to say it happened tonight because tonight I was in a rush to hop on my computer. But, hey, great string of guests. Everybody who's joining us is great. And I like how the vagueness of his news is. I get how it works. It's a subscription site. You don't want to give away everything right now. You don't want to give up all the news because that's the point of what he does over at Rivals and stuff. You want to get people to sign up for that free trial, then pay for it, which is fine. He has great, obviously great free stuff all the time, but man, he knows that class like crazy. All these great commits. He gave a good example for quarterbacks, which you got three. Here's the reason why. As we saw last year, they were pretty much a mess until week 4.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Did he not hear my headdress cost, my question? Because you followed up again with it, with the guys coming out as the Aztec War. Did he not catch that, or I think he just doesn't care about that stuff?
I caught that. I didn't think he heard it, so that's why I repeated it.
Okay, that's what I thought, too, because there's a... Hey, we got a new setup. People calling on cell phones. My mic's not working. So there's a little static feedback. Apologize for that, but...
Excellent dog barking.
Yeah, I try to mute you every now and then, so yeah, that's... No worries, but I know our good friend David. Oh, but we did have one question. I asked questions late. I think we did answer it. I think basically what it was, yeah, it looks like it was from SDSU Aztec fan on Twitter. Basically, do you think the Aztecs will do a better job of holding off poachers this year? And I think Grubin seemed pretty confident that's more than likely not going to happen, but he can't be for sure. And then
I think Brandon Huffman alluded to that as well as Grubin did. You know, San Diego State, they are getting better at the recruiting game. But, you know, when you have to square off against USC, UCLA, there's very rarely a time where you're going to, you know, win those recruits, even if you give them a chance to, you know, have first string their first year.
Yeah, that, especially like you said, because the question I asked, I would like to ask this, I should have asked the other guys, but the kids, the schools who are like, kind of asked at the end, but like, oh, wait for us. You're waiting for USC. You're waiting for UCLA. You're waiting for Florida, Oregon. If we have a spot, we'll offer you. But why would, in our case, just show San Diego State wait on a kid and then they're out of luck and they go playing at, what, Cal Poly or something or Weber State or, you know what I mean, one of the smaller schools and they're out of luck. That's a bad part about it, I think. So I'm glad he said he gives them some advice. Like, make sure you don't just wait on the last-minute offer because it may not be there. Then you're at a place you don't want to be at. But... we're getting some good stuff, man. Good recruiting news. We try to recover recruiting a lot, but I figure this year, bring on the experts 2 weeks before and be good to go. We're still working on a few others because not every school has a recruiting expert. We're still trying to reach out to some couple Colorado State guys I know, maybe Nevada. I know Utah State guy. Maybe we might get on. So, but we got to pick it up because we're a week away, 8 days away.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to add about before we wrap up the show? It could be about anything, recruiting, how your day went today, any news you want to talk about, basketball again?
Man, I feel like this is like a campfire talk or something like that. No.
Have you found a soccer league in Las Vegas to join? Indoor soccer?
No, I have not found a soccer league in Las Vegas to join.
Oh, okay. Just trying to make sure since you're still getting sizzled in there. Just want to make sure you're not getting concussions yet, playing goalie, keeper. But
hey, you know what? It's exactly a year later, and you have to remind me of that.
I just thought for some reason I remembered you said you got a concussion when I played keeper.
Yeah, it was late January of last year.
Yeah, I apparently got amazing memory or the worst in your part to remind you of that.
Thanks.
But we're gonna wrap up the show. Hey, I like to note to people this was not an hour show, 45 minutes, so. To check out this show and all of our shows, like I said, we're on Stitcher still. We're on, right now, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, iTunes. Those links are all the same. Check us out at mwcconnection.com. We'll have signing day stuff throughout the week, signing day, day after. And just, hey, follow us on Twitter for the latest news for our next show. We don't know when that'll be, but it'll be sooner than later at mwcconnection. And everybody have a great night or great day whenever you listen to this, and we'll see you next time.